Hi there, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Three Guys Before the Game. We welcome you in. This is the TCU Preview Edition, episode number 65, joined by the Dean, Poppy Kercheval, and the Senator, Brad Howe, and away we go. Yeah, this is it, man. Don't look now. There are only two home games remaining the entire season for West Virginia, and just three regular season games to play. We talked all about West Virginia and Texas and every piece that that had in it on our Monday show. Now we focus in on TCU. And I started to bring this point up last week on Monday, which wasn't last week, which was only a few days ago. But anyway, you get my point. I'm worried. And you guys jumped on me and said, don't say it's a trap. Don't say it's a trap game. Don't say it's a trap. I'm not saying it's a trap game. I'm just coming straight out and saying this game will be so much more about the mental approach than the actual physical execution of the players. And I don't feel good about the mental approach.
Well, I actually agree with you. We're going to start the show off agreeing. I agree. This will be extremely hard for West Virginia to not have, and letdown's probably too strong. I mean, maybe it'll be a letdown. We'll have to see. This is certainly what they refer to oftentimes as a flat spot. If you're watching this game from Vegas, you're looking at West Virginia off a very emotional, hard-fought, giant win that's hard to come back down from. We've been talking about it all week. I was just talking to somebody this morning about the Texas game. It is hard to come back down from that. So this is the definition of flat spot. I don't think you lose the game here. TCU's really struggling. We're going to get into that in a minute. They're besieged by injuries. You're going to win the game. But this is a classic flat spot game here.
It absolutely is a flat spot. And that is, there's a lot of evidence of that, including late in the week, you're still got this Texas high. Mm-hmm. You're still talking about that game.
Yeah,
exactly.
And if you're talking about that, yeah, I think it's natural for the players. I don't care how they coach them up to be thinking about that, not have your head on straight about TCU. But TCU has got major, major problems at a lot of different levels. I mean, an unbelievable number of injuries. They're saying they've had 35 injuries and 20 season-ending injuries.
Yeah, 20 to 21. That's almost hard to believe, I mean, isn't it? How are you even fielding a team with that many?
Yeah. So, and you know, they're on their backup quarterback. They lost their best receiver and return guy because he's had a spousal abuse. Okay, so, I mean, they just have had everything go wrong. And this is only going to be their second trip outside of Texas. They got to come all the way east.
Pretty
they got
amazing.
To play at 11 o'clock Central Time. I mean, there are while this is a flat spot for West Virginia, there are a lot of things going against Texas TCU. Yeah.
And the last time they left the state of Texas, which would be only the first time they left the state of Texas, they lost at Kansas. So here is the resume to this point on the Horned Frogs of TCU. They are 4-5 overall. They are 2-4 in Big 12 play. Obviously, their big loss was their quarterback, Sean Robinson. He went out with the shoulder deal, and as a result, Michael Collins is the quarterback. Collins is a kid who began his collegiate career at Penn. That is not Penn State. That would be the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League institution located in the downtown Philadelphia area. And he left there after playing in a handful of games there because he wanted to prove that he could play at the highest level. So he's going to play Power 5 football, and he'll get his chance to come into Morgantown. He has been
okay.
He has thrown for under 55% completions in three of the five games in which he has played. He had a big number day against Kansas. He threw for over 300 yards. But he's just been okay. I was telling the Senator before we started to roll tape, he has run the ball here in the last three games. He's run it over 20 times. Now, he's not going far, but they may, and not that he's a running guy, he may be running for his life, to be quite honest with you. So it kind of tells you the dysfunction that they're having offensively. Last week, they were only able to produce 14 points total in a win over K-State.
Yeah, I think that's what you look at. I mean, they went 0 for the month of October, TCU did, in terms of getting wins. But just look at their last three games. 52-27 against Oklahoma, then the loss to Kansas, as you mentioned, 27-26, and then that 14-13 just muck game against Kansas State. You struggle like that against Kansas and Kansas State, this year for those teams that tells you where this TCU team is, and it's mostly on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that. The defense, we got to talk about the defense. Defense is pretty good. But that Kansas State game, that's even misleading because Kansas State fumbled the ball three times and missed the extra point. So they could have easily lost that game had Kansas State been even marginal in that game. Let's think about this, guys. We talked about how much time do we spend on West Virginia's troubles at the right guard spot. We spent like a whole show on that. Look at this for their offensive line. They haven't had the same offensive starting lineup any game this year, number one. Number two, at left tackle, they've started two different players. At left guard, they've started three different players. At right guard, they've started four different players. And some of those have gone, you know, back and forth, start a couple games, another guy. Think about that. How can you have anything going offensively, and they have no run game, when you have that much turmoil on your offensive line?
That's a great point. And so here's three layers to all of that. Number one, if you had those many changes on your offensive line and had the same quarterback, maybe you could scratch yourself away. If you have those many changes on the offensive line and a different quarterback, then you're really hurting. If you have those many changes on the offensive line and a different quarterback, and you take away your best skill player on offense in Kevontae Turpin, who you mentioned earlier on, then you're kind of going like, wow. So Gary Patterson has kind of said on many occasions, unfortunately, it's just one of those years.
Yeah.
He's been there for over two decades in the program, but you're right, 18 as the head coach. And I think he's been around so long, he goes, you know what? Sometimes you roll dice and it comes up crap. And this is one of those years.
This is one of those years. And add to that stat to bring that together, they've only won the turnover battle against Southern to open the season and Kansas State, as you just alluded to, their fumble problems. Every game in between there, TCU has not won the turnover battle. And turnovers are oftentimes a product of luck at times. So this team has had none of it this season.
They're like minus 10, minus 12, something like that. I mean, turnovers have been terrible. And, you know, the thing is, so many things have gone wrong. It's not like Gary Patterson's now suddenly not a good coach or they don't have a good program. They got a really good program. It's just, unless you're Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State, you're going to have years like that. And this is just one of those years where everything goes wrong. You've seen it at West Virginia. You've seen it at most other schools. That's what they're having.
Well, and that said, the way you know Gary Patterson's a good coach, this line's down to 11.5. It's not like this is a 24-point line, which if some of the teams in this league would have those kind of issues, this would be a four-touchdown blowout. So the Vegas guys think this is still going to be somewhat of a close game.
Because they see the flat spot for West Virginia, and they respect Gary Patterson, and they respect that TCU defense, which is very good.
Yeah, I mean, they are. So there's a very fine line between winning and losing. We all know that. And it's not that far away from where they were. Think about this, folks. You remember in week number 3, it was the 15th of September, we all got excited because Ohio State was playing TCU, and they played it at Jerry World. And it was a big, big game. And I remember watching that game, and I'm looking at TCU going like, holy heck, these guys are so fast. They've got skill. They're going to be a handful. I mean, they played Ohio State, right? They had a couple of, you know, the Robinson, the quarterback, had a brain fart, and that led to their demise. And that's when Ohio State was playing, you know, solidly. And so you just start pulling pieces away. And as you said, Hoppy, it's not that Gary Patterson, you know, forgot how it wins. Yeah. It's you got to have players. And the interesting part to all this is, while the injury list continues to grow for TCU, the injury list for West Virginia continues to get smaller. This week, Quandarius Qualls, Brendan Ferns are expected to come and play for the very first time this season. And these are two linebackers who would have played a ton this season. Conceivably, Qualls would have been a starter this year. So West Virginia is getting healthier. Also, Derek Pitts, who's been out for the last couple of games, he's also, you know, maybe to come back in the lineup. So actually, West Virginia is getting healthier.
And this is a good game to get him back. We just mentioned the offensive troubles for TCU, so you can mix these guys in there and not, theoretically, not have them running all over the place against a high-powered offense. So a really good first game back for some of these guys. You mentioned it, though. I think the story simply comes down to West Virginia not turning the ball over, and how many points are you going to put up? Because I don't know that there's any way this TCU offense can keep up scoring-wise, even if the TCU defense holds West Virginia down a shade.
Right, they can't keep up offensively. You're right, but you do worry about that TCU defense. They've held, let's see, they held Iowa State to 14 points. They held Texas Tech to 17 points.
Okay, but why? Dig into that a little bit. Jet Duffy at Texas Tech was the backup quarterback, played in that game, and Brock Purdy had not emerged yet for Iowa State.
Well, Jet Duffy was pretty good against West Virginia.
Yeah, he was, but he's still the backup guy.
But you're still holding Tech to 17 points. That's still good.
Okay, I'll see your 17. I'll raise you this. Against Ohio State, Texas, and Oklahoma, probably the three offenses that most resemble West Virginia, TCU's given up 41 points a game.
Ooh, strong.
So when
right
they've gone,
underscore that one, folks.
When they've gone against that. The better offenses, which I think West Virginia looks like those three, they have struggled. So West Virginia can, if it can get to that 38, 40 number,
so
35.
So West Virginia scores 40
ballgame.
Points?
I got them a little lower than that, but in that ballpark.
Much
you get to
mid
30s, I think this is over.
Okay.
I'll give you that. I'm allowing for a little bit of flat spot, TCU holding them a little bit below a season average, but you still score. If you get in the 30s, TCU's not beating you.
Okay, so let's say you get in the 30s, mm-hmm. 34, 37, 35, something like that. Okay, and TCU gets no more than 17. Why is the line 11?
Ooh. Yeah, because what? Because
well, why is it 11?
Well, because they're trying to get you to bet somewhere. So a reasonable, you could also see it being 34-21, 34-24. Could you see 34-24? Would that be totally unreasonable?
Can you see them scoring 24 points? I don't know about that.
I don't know about that, but maybe. Maybe that wouldn't be totally unreasonable. You just watched a West Virginia defense that got lit up pretty good. I know Texas is better offensively, but 24 is not a whole lot of points. 34, right? You turn it over a couple times. Could West Virginia be held to 34? Sure, I could see that.
34-24.
I could see that. That's not going to be my prediction, but that wouldn't totally stun me.
We know.
34-22.
I'm not going to give you my prediction yet. You got to wait till Saturday. I'll give you my official prediction.
We know where you're going. I mean, you just kind of said it.
He said it.
You just said it.
He thinks they're going to cover, too.
You said West Virginia's going to be a little bit under 40, so you're going to go about 35, 6, 7, or 8. See, you can make your smile
there.
I don't
know what I'm going to give TCU, though.
Well, I think
so you have to determine whether I like that Vegas down around 11, keep it 10, flat spot, or if I think West Virginia fights through that and in the second half turns it on a little bit and rolls them.
You think TCU is going to score between 17 and 20. That'll be your score. And you'll say that they'll cover.
I mean, they only had 26 against Kansas.
Well, they were out of the state of Texas for the first time. It's a whole different world out there. Whole different world.
Well, it's a whole different world here if it snows on Saturday.
That's right.
We got the weather back in the
That's
mix
what you
here.
Need. 11 a.m. and some snow showers.
So is that not necessary? Well, that you might say, well, that's going to hurt Texas. It's going to come in and it's going to snow. Does that help West Virginia? I mean, it's going to be early and they just played in their shirt sleeves in Texas last week and they walk out there and it's kind of like.
I'll bet you one thing.
Ooh.
One thing.
This has become a betting show. A lot of betting on this show.
Oh, you should listen to our show Saturday.
I miss that sometimes. Yeah.
This game will not be as exciting as West Virginia and Texas.
That's your lock of the week?
That's my lock. This game is set up to be just a dullard, just
it
that,
is. Like,
that's
blah.
Why I think that's interesting from a West Virginia perspective, though. We talk all the time about, are you elite? Are you not elite? West Virginia is now residing in the elite category nationally. They're in the discussion for college football playoff. They're squarely in the discussion for Big 12 championship. So we're back to this conversation we've had. Are you elite? Are you going to go out and you throw 45 on these guys, slap them around, say thanks for coming? Have a good flight. We're number 9. You've misranked us. We should be higher. We're ready to roll. What do you mean? TCU's having trouble?
Well,
fine. We just beat you by 3 touchdowns. Move on.
I know that we've talked a lot on this show about elite and not only winning, but winning decisively and style points. I think in November, don't worry about that. Because you got these trap games now that you have this record going, you're in the top 10. Just win the game, and then if you can keep winning, and advance like you say on NCAA tournament, and then have a showdown with Oklahoma. But don't worry about style points. Just somehow win the game. That's all you got to do.
You go ahead and take it first, and I'll follow up.
I would say normally I would agree with you on that. I think Dana may he'll never say that he does. Or someone will, within the program, say, hey, guys, we continue to be what we feel undervalued in this college football poll. If you want to play for something here today, okay, if you want to play for something, then you do go out and you lay wood and you say, make the numbers go ding, 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 ding. So all day long on that bottom line, West Virginia final score this. Show them, you're in a show state now, show them what you guys really are. That could be used as a catalyst.
You know what? Ultimately, bottom line, you're correct with what you say, because if you do that, survive and advance, that other stuff falls into place. But I tell you what, to Tony's point, after watching the national narrative around this team coming out of that Texas game, that wasn't just about getting a win, was it?
No.
That was about style points in a different way. It wasn't winning by four touchdowns.
You were a story.
But it was pretty. It was the Will Grier pass. It was the moment. It was the close game and the fun and the lead. I think there is something to style points given the narrative around you, which I do think helps drive some of these rankings at times. So I think it's important to look good here.
But last week had the makings of a story, and it was a great story. It was the best game of the day by far. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for Alabama LSU, it would have been the story of the day. And I think in a lot of circles, it was still the story. No matter what happens, the only way that Saturday is a big story is if West Virginia loses. So whether you win by 12 or win by 25, I don't think that changes very much.
For the most part, again, I agree with that. The difference would be if Grier comes out and throws for five touchdowns and you roll up 48 points, and then those people that are saying, why is Washington State ranked up there? Why is LSU ahead of them? You start to build that case for people going, I tell you what, did you see what West Virginia did coming off that emotional win against Texas? I think that team is elite. So you're right. The major story is a loss, but I think you can, because right now you're not talking about having to take a major leap forward. You're out of the top four at this point, and I don't think there's any disagreement.
So what's the point?
But there's some movement between 5 and 9 right now. I think West Virginia can inch as it starts to look towards
Tuesday. But
what's
the point? I mean, do you think this is a top four team? Do you think this is a team that would play Alabama in the
That's
playoffs?
Two different questions. As of right now, no, I don't think it's a top four team, but I think it's maybe undervalued at 9. I think there's some spots to move up.
What's it matter if you're not going to be in the top four? What's it matter whether you're 8 or 9 or 7?
Because the season's not over. So if you're 7 next week and you keep inching towards it, it's easier to get to 4 from 7 than it is to get to 4 from 9.
Right.
So you keep stair-stepping this thing up over the next couple weeks.
Then you want to concentrate on that because you think they're going to win out and go to the and win the championship.
I'm not predicting that yet.
Then the other stuff
is
irrelevant.
You want to ask me a question and get an answer? You just want to berate me? Which would you like to do?
I'm Jim Acosta here, and I'm going after you.
I mean, if you just want to talk, go ahead and talk. You don't need to ask me the question.
No, I'm asking a question.
I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay, all right, let me ask the question. Why is it...
Help, I'm trying to answer the man's question. Listen, I can't get an answer.
Both of you guys behave or your credentials are going to be pulled. Go ahead now. We can settle this. Go ahead, because you both have good points. Go ahead.
Why is it relevant that West Virginia needs to do things to get into the Final Four if you don't have confidence they're a Final Four team?
Hang on, stop. Let me answer it. Can I get in?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I think what he's saying is this. If you've got any chance to get into the Final Four, West Virginia would have to run the table and beat Oklahoma in the championship game. You'd have to beat Oklahoma in back-to-back weeks in addition to beating Oklahoma State, beating TCU. And so what he's saying is, in order to even have a chance to get to the Final Four, you have to do that. You've got a better chance to do that if you start off at, if you get up to like 6 or 5 to make that last move into the 4, then you would if you just sit there and stay at 9.
Yeah, and I think this, because I think the narrative becomes cumulative as you start to march towards that. I think if you have a dud and win one 14-13, I think then it's very easy to get up there or in that committee room and say, hold on here, guys. I know we thought they were pretty good, but they barely squeaked. But all the things we just said that are wrong with TCU, the people in the committee room know that as well. So if you have a stinker against them and barely win, maybe you drop. Maybe you fall from 9. And then if you win a couple more, then that still becomes a black mark against you if you get into the discussion following the Big 12 title.
Would it be that much of a black mark if to get to consideration for that Final Four, you beat Oklahoma once, maybe twice, and then Texas once, maybe twice?
Well, that would certainly help. But I think West Virginia is going to need some definitive answers in that room. Remember, it's missing a game against NC State. It's going to miss some from wins if Texas falls out. What happens to Iowa State if it loses to Texas and it falls out of the rankings? Suddenly that loss to Iowa State isn't as explainable if they're not a top 25 team. So there's a lot of moving parts here. I'm just saying, as you're sitting now in the national discussion, keep yourself in it and try and inch forward with a good offensive performance in particular.
You good with that, sir?
Well, that's fine. We have had a good discussion.
You get his point. Hey, let me.
I get his point.
I also think this. Overall,
I think style points matter probably a lot more than we give them credit for. I think people are looking at style points.
I think we're talking actually about two different things. Clearly, style points matter. I don't see West Virginia in the Final Four. Okay, I don't see them in the college football playoffs, but I do see them trying to get to that, still battling in a tough November to get the Big 12 championship game. Therefore, to me, style points are less important.
I see what
you're
saying.
Oh, in that regard, yeah, they are.
In that regard, there's no question. The Big 12, it doesn't matter to the Big 12.
Right.
But you're not out of the playoff discussion yet.
I understand that.
You may be at some point, but you are not as we sit here today, nor will you be out of it as of Saturday.
Wait, do we talk about the trap game at Stillwater?
Next week.
Next week. We'll do that next week.
Because I do think that is. That's a whole other discussion.
Two more points here. Firstly, I think that Texas victory, which drew a larger number ratings-wise.
See, he's still talking about Texas. How can you expect the team to be ready?
No, I'm following it up. The performance that West Virginia had against Texas drew a huge number. I think that this Mountaineer football team, with Will Grier, with David Sills, with Gary Jennings, with a lot of these guys, have become somewhat of a brand to college football fans, right?
Yeah.
And I think what really great teams do now, and Brad said it earlier, really great teams come back home and they pound people. They pound people. I don't think that's going to happen. I'd love to see it happen. But if this team comes out and goes really big and puts on a performance similar to what they did against Baylor, of just like being an offensive machine, then I think this team, among Mountaineer football teams, will be remembered for an even longer time.
Well, you do have an opportunity. If West Virginia just lays wood, then you have the opportunity for the national narrative to be, this is the hot team.
Yes.
This team's red hot right now.
Yes.
They had that huge moment at Texas. Then there was no flat spot. Granted, TCU is down, but they didn't let their foot off the gas. And then the conversation will be, now they just got about Oklahoma State, and then they'll go play Oklahoma, and then the thing really gears up. Then you really do have to watch out for a flat spot at Oklahoma State.
Let me interject this. I saw this graphic. Someone put this together. I saw this for the first time yesterday. Through 98 games at West Virginia, Don Nealon and Dana Holgorsen. Okay? Take Don Nealon's first 98 games, and Dana just coached his 98th game. Have you seen this?
No. Mm-hmm.
I have.
You have? You haven't. Okay. Don Nealon, after 98 games at West Virginia, had won 62 games. Dana, 60. Don Nealon's winning percentage at West Virginia after 98 games was 63%. Dana's 61. After 98 games, Don Nealon had 7 AP top 25 victories. Dana, 10. I was really surprised by that. The perception isn't of that.
No, it's not, but some context.
Oh, wait a second. Causation, correlation. Here we go again, Brad. Here we go. For those of you that missed our last show, causation, correlate. Go ahead. Yeah.
By the way, I was tempted to go. Never mind. I wasn't even going to go there. But context is important here, because when Don Nealon took over the program was not an elite program.
That's a very good point. Yep.
And he quickly went from 6-6 to 9-3. He quickly made West Virginia relevant nationally. So, and when Dana Holgorsen took over, West Virginia had already been established, elevated by Don Nealon, Rich Rodriguez, Bill Stewart, as a national program. So I think you view that, I understand, and
that's a good point.
But I view it a little bit differently.
That's a very good point. He had taken a team over that had a losing record. And that's a really good.
And I tell you, those early Don Nealon years, they had some pretty tough opponents.
Penn State, Virginia Tech,
and Boston College and Syracuse.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. You guys ready for predictions for this week?
Yes.
On a big schedule.
Yeah.
You sure? You ready?
Yep.
All right, ready to go. Here we go with week number 11, college football, the Baylor Bears. Very impressive win last week. Dramatic win in Waco. Play against the Brock Purdy's at Iowa State. Who you like?
If you're West Virginia, you need Baylor.
Yeah.
You need Iowa State to get another loss.
Iowa State to get another loss here. Yes, we do.
They also still have Texas. Iowa State still has Texas remaining. Where's the game?
At Iowa State.
I would take Iowa State at home.
Not far from where you grew up, Brad. You were in the West Des Moines area when you grew up. 45 minutes up the road.
Actually, a little bit less, but yes. I probably can't take Baylor there. I probably can't see Baylor. What's the line? You have the line in front of you?
Oh, yeah, I do. It's 14.5.
Although as Matt Rhule rebuilds that program, that was a nice win for him last week over Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Massive.
Absolutely.
And the way they won it.
I agree.
Okay, so you're both going.
Iowa State.
Does Iowa State cover?
What's the line?
14.5.
Oh, that's a big number.
Iowa State at home.
I know they're home, 14.5. They got the hook there. No, I'm going to say no.
Don't cover.
Don't like the hook.
3:30 kickoff. It'll start in daylight, end in darkness. Next up, Here we go, baby. The Sunflower Special. Kansas at Kansas State. David Beatty, he's already been relieved of his duties. His team emotional. They know they're going to go out there and win one for David at Kansas State. The line is K-State 10.5.
Hoppy, our guy Brad Powers, bradpowersports.com, did I read a note right from him that Bill Snyder's 21-1 straight up over Kansas over the last 22? Can that be right?
That's
some domination there.
That's probably right. I got to go back and look at Brad Powers' notes about that. Sounds right. But K-State at home, Bill Stewart. But boy, I think the
Bill Snyder.
I'm sorry, Bill Snyder. I think the larger story is who gets the Kansas job and what happens at Kansas State after this year. I think those to me are bigger stories than that game.
I think, and you know my stance, I've said since Jeff Long was hired, there was going to be a coaching change there. That was obvious why they're bringing in Jeff Long. I think he's got his guy, Tony.
Yeah, I think he's
got his guy. I think that's part of why you've seen him come out and say that he wants a coach with head coaching experience. That's a hard one to walk back if you end up having to get a coordinator. How do you go back and explain that? So I think the guy is there. I think we'll know that in the next few weeks.
A couple more games coming up. Today's program is being brought to us, folks, by Fine Looking Phil at Daniel's Menswear of Morgantown. Go into Daniel's Menswear, University Avenue in Morgantown. Tell them that you are a listener to Three Guys Before the Game and get our preferred discount, 30% off all WVU gear. All WVU gear, 30% off by going to Fine Looking Phil's. Daniel's Menswear of Morgantown, the senator, has one of those shirts. This is state pride here. That's,
we have
that's
double
a state,
state
of West
pride
Virginia.
Today.
You got a double state pride right there. Got a nice shirt. And Hoppy, he just totally refuses.
You're here and then there? I look on social media and you're there all the time. It's just like, we're at Phil's, we're at Phil's, we're at Daniel's, we're at Daniel's. That's all I see on social media. It's like you're there, like here's Tony and Phil, here's Brad and Phil, here's Tony and Brad, here's Brad and Tony and Phil. I mean, that's all you do on social media.
I would say this, that...
It is.
I think you make a good...
Like, this is really compelling to see you guys standing there at Daniel's.
I would say this, if you go there, it's more than just a menswear store, and I do have women's clothing, but I would say this, there's a sense of family that when you go in there, and if you go in there on game day, folks... You might get more than apparel.
There's tailgating going on inside.
They tailgate inside. Yeah. You'll get something to warm you when you go in there.
Oh, that's why you're there all the time. Yeah. You guys are in there getting like a wassail or something.
Well, not on a Thursday morning at 10.
9 o'clock in the morning.
we're there on game day. Yeah.
We're drinking coffee. We're not tipping back a bottle of Crown. But for those of you that go in there on game day, you can. 30% off all WVU gear.
You should do that. If you're coming into town this week, you really should do that. Real quick, just to wrap up that Kansas State, from Brad Powers, Bill Snyder coached Kansas State teams are on a 21-1 straight-up run, 18-4 against the number against the Kansas Jayhawks.
18-4, and that number's 10.5. Were you going to go there on 10.5?
Win one for Dave Beatty.
I mean,
win one for
Bill Snyder.
Wake up the echoes. Win one for Charlie Weiss. Win one for Turner Gill.
Well, they always tell you, follow the trend.
Yeah.
Follow the trend. All right, give me K-State covering.
Okay, got it. Bedlam. Folks, we got the Oklahoma State Cowboys in Norman to take on the Sooners of Oklahoma.
What's the line?
It's big. It's like 19, right?
Holy potato salad. I didn't look at it. 21.5.
Yeah, that's up.
I'm 20.5, I should say. 20.5.
Boy, I'd say... Oklahoma State had a Oklahoma State's going to look past Oklahoma and get ready for West Virginia coming in 2 weeks. But Oklahoma is just, it's too much. Oklahoma State is very inconsistent, and they're coming off that loss. I know probably there's not a lot of value in that game because it's a rivalry game. Brad, what do you say?
I'm sick and tired of people running down Taylor Cornelius. Had to get his name in. Go ahead.
I don't know. Give me Oklahoma here. I know that's a giant number, but give me Oklahoma's offense. By the way, I like West Virginia getting Oklahoma State the week after this game. But
I'd like to get Oklahoma State the week after they beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, so you want Oklahoma State win?
Oklahoma State wins, beats Oklahoma, then I want to go to Oklahoma State. I'd like that setup.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, but anyway, that's
that
what
Oklahoma
that's what
offense
like.
Is impressive. Unless you turn over Kyler Murray, which Texas Tech did last week and stayed in that game, I don't know how you stop them.
Yeah. Lastly, Texas, we've seen them, plays at Texas Tech. Unfortunately, Alan Bowman, the quarterback of Texas Tech, continues to suffer from the injury that he suffered against WVU. He was back in the hospital this week after last week's game against Oklahoma.
It's a collapsed lung, is that right?
Yeah, continues to struggle with that. Texas is a 2-point favorite. Jet Duffy, baby.
Yeah, I'll take Texas there.
Heavy?
I'll take Texas there.
Yeah, Texas.
That's a close line against a backup quarterback.
Tom Herman is a favorite.
Huh?
Tom Herman is a favorite.
Doesn't turn out well.
It doesn't turn out well.
Doesn't turn out well.
Okay.
I'll still take it.
Yeah, Texas. Texas to win and cover.
All right, done. Oh, by the way, Mountaineer basketball team opens up against the University of Buffalo. Tip-off at 9 o'clock tomorrow. We're taping on Thursday. Tip-off at 9 o'clock. Men's soccer team at American Conference Championship Tournament in Morgantown, 5:30 on Friday. Women's soccer NCAA tournament as the 2 seed hosting Radford, 4 o'clock Saturday. So right after the football game, you can go over to Dick DeLesk Stadium. And you know what, folks? Dick DeLesk isn't all that far away from Daniel's Men's Store, the official sponsor of Three Guys Before the Game, where you can get 30% off all WVU gear. All you got to do is walk in and say, hey, I listen to Three Guys Before the Game.
Hey, this tie is from Daniel's.
Well, sure.
Well,
I thought, there you go.
Nice. Just remember that.
Well, good. Nice.
Hey, do you want to come over one of these days when we go over to Phil's and just hang out?
The next time we go over, you should join us.
He listens to you every day.
Not only does he listen, the store
listens. The
whole
store listens
on
to you.
The store.
I tell you what, next time I drive by, because you guys are always there, I'll just drive by and pull in.
Well, we've said it's one of the benefits of going in there if you're a customer. You walk in, we may jump out of the tie rack.
We'd love
and
to see you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a busy week thanks to democracy.
We're out. See y'all. Be good.